Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the unique experiences that young children have is that they tend to fall asleep in one place and then wake up somewhere else. A child falls asleep in his mother's arms or a baby stroller or a car seat. And then when he wakes up, he opens his eyes and sees that he is someplace else entirely. Maybe in a crib, maybe in a different room or a different building from before. As we observe All Saints Day, we give thanks for the faithful who have gone before us. And part of the peace that we find in our remembrance of them comes from knowing that in their parting from us, they have experienced something very much like what young children experience. They fell asleep in one place with us, and then they awoke someplace else entirely, in heaven with our Lord. Natural death can be understood as the separation of a person's spirit from their body. The body is laid to rest so that we can picture it resting until the day when Christ comes again in glory on the day of resurrection. And the spirit of a believer, meanwhile, is immediately taken to heaven to be with the Lord. As Solomon describes it in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And what do those who have been taken to God then experience? They experience the perfect peace and joy of life in his heavenly kingdom. We get a small glimpse of what that life is like in this morning's reading from Revelation, where John is given a vision of the saints in heaven and describes for us what he sees. John writes, "I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And then a few verses later, we are told more about what their life there is like. As John writes, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And here we have quite a description of what the saints in heaven are experiencing, and also of what awaits us there. Living in the glorious presence of God himself, with Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, enjoying the company of our fellow believers, including many whom we have known and loved in this life, as well as many others we will come to know and love when we are there. No hunger or thirst, no suffering or pain, no sorrow or tears. Knowing that that's what awaits us beyond this life can be a source of real comfort for us when we think of our loved ones who have gone before us in Christ, to know that that is what they are experiencing right now with the Lord. And it is also a source of encouragement for us when we face difficulties in this life, to know that this is not the end, but that there is in store for us, in the words of Psalm 16, fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And why can we be confident that we will, in fact, come to experience that fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore? Well, for the answer to that question, let's turn once again to our reading from Revelation. When the Apostle John was given a vision of the saints in heaven, he was also told who those saints were. They are, he was told, those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that is what a saint is. One whose sins have been washed away in the cleansing blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The word saint means holy one. And so who can rightly be called holy ones or holy people? Well, if it all came down to whether we have lived truly holy lives in what we think and say and do, then we know that none of us would qualify. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So how then can we stand before God in true holiness as his saints, his holy people? If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how exactly does he do that? How does he cleanse us from all unrighteousness? As we read in 1 John, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. We have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ our Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that is why we can stand before the Lord as his holy ones, his saints. We are his saints by his grace alone, through faith alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. Because his blood alone cleanses us from all sin and sets us free to stand before the Lord as his redeemed, restored, forgiven people, his holy ones, his saints. On All Saints Day, we do especially remember the saints who have gone before us as we give thanks for them and for the everlasting life that they now enjoy with the Lord. But on this day, we also remember and acknowledge with thanksgiving that by God's grace, already in this life, all believers in Christ are his saints. On the cross, Jesus gave himself into death for all of your sins. And in your baptism, the forgiveness that Jesus won for you on the cross was poured over you personally. As we read in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That is what God has made you in Jesus Christ. And having made you holy by washing away your sins, our gracious God now keeps you holy in God's sight through his cleansing words of forgiveness and through his forgiving sacred meal of Holy Communion. So as we give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors and are with the Lord in paradise, we also give thanks that we have a unity with them in the communion of saints, and that we will one day be with them and with our Lord, and will be with them forever. When a young child falls asleep in one place and wakes up in another, the one thing they tend to look for when they awake is a parent's face. If they can see their mother or their father, then wherever they might be, they know that they'll be okay. When we fall asleep in Christ and awaken to life in heaven, we will at last have the joy of seeing our Lord smiling upon us. And seeing his face, we will know that everything is going to be much better than all right. In Psalm 17, David spoke of how he looked forward to exactly that experience, as he said to the Lord, "In righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness." Indeed, we will be much more than satisfied. Together with all the saints, we will have perfect peace and fullness of joy, and we will have that forever. So, in the words that we heard earlier from the saints in Revelation, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.